share or the feedback that you've given and things like that. It's been, it really has been helpful. We're excited about what kind of conversation it continues to lead to and open up as we kind of continue to discern and pursue and strive to figure out kind of where God's leading us and things like that. I want to share with you some of the Fortville things that we've kind of been talking about. We've continued to make some really great connections with the community there. We're excited about that. And as we've been doing that, one of the things we've been learning is that we need to have, we believe that God is leading us to have a Sunday morning worship presence there in Fortville. And so I wanted to share with you, as we talked about at the town hall meeting, that the plan that we are going to be moving forward with is to be moving this service, this 9 a.m. service that happens here at this campus, to our Fortville campus. And so we have we need to still work through some of the logistics of what that looks like or what that means. But our target date, doesn't mean that's going to be what it is, but our target date of hoping to do that is June 3rd. So the first Sunday of June, and we believe that makes sense because the 2nd of June is Ball Day in Fortville. And if you know anything about Fortville, then you know that Ball Day is a thing there. And so that allows us a really great opportunity to connect with community that will be literally in our front yard the day before we would launch a Sunday morning worship experience there on the 3rd. Now, so that's our target date. So just wanted to share that with you. As we work through the logistics, it'll be happening there at our Fortville campus, which is the what's known as the old Carnegie Library building. It will be I would describe the service experience to be sort of a coffee shop acoustic feel. I don't know even if I know what that means, but that's sort of the kind of my idea or vision of what that space would kind of lend itself to. That's kind of, just wanted to share that with you, that that's going to be something that's coming on the horizon and let you know that, as obviously you are here at the 9 o'clock service in this space. And if you want to have some conversation with me about that, please don't hesitate to let me know. Would love for you to think about, pray about what it might look like for you to simply attend the 9 o'clock service at our Fortville campus on beginning that first Sunday in June. It's roughly 7 miles from this location. And if I think Google Maps says it takes about 11 minutes to get there from right here. I drive a little bit differently than Google Maps, and so I can usually make it in a little less than 11 minutes. But I also drive responsibly and safe and things like that. Anyways, just wanted to share all of that kind of with you. Since we've had our town hall meeting, we're able to kind of begin talking about it a little bit more so that, of course, you are aware of it as you are here at the 9 o'clock service. So I'm going to pray. Lord, we give you thanks for being present with us, and we pray that you would help us just to continue to be present with you. And so as we spend some time in your word, that you would open it up to us, that it might be fresh and new, that our hearts and our minds would be open to the things that you would have for us. And with all of the stuff that's happening around us or maybe inside of us, that you might even just for a moment by your grace give us a chance to set those other things or those distractions or the list of things that we have to get done, that we could set those things off to the side and that we would just hear from you. And so we pray that you would speak to us now. In your name, amen. Last week we talked about Thomas, and oftentimes he's referred to as Doubting Thomas. And we spent a little time talking about this interaction that Jesus had with Thomas and how Jesus revealed himself to the disciples and he wasn't there. And then Thomas showed up and all of the disciples were like, hey, we saw Jesus. And he was like, yeah, right. Unless I can, you know, touch his hands and touch his side, then there's just no way I'm going to believe that. And sure enough, he had the opportunity to do that and Jesus shows up. What was interesting in that story is that Thomas was described as one of the 12. And this morning, we're going to look at Peter. And I think what's important for us to be mindful of as we read through scriptures, and in particular as we read through the Gospels, that the disciples are us. I mean, this is a group of individuals, men and women, who were not perfect. They were not overly spiritual. They messed up a lot. And there were a lot of times when they just didn't get it, even though, right, that's kind of what that, when Thomas is described as being one of the 12, really what that reminds us is that even though this guy was with Jesus, hung out with Jesus for like 3 years, he still doubted, or he still chose to not believe the words that he heard Jesus say when he said, for a little while you're not going to see me, but then you will, and I'll be back. That's you and me. So I think we should be encouraged when we hear about individuals like Thomas or individuals like Peter who were one of the 12, and even they didn't quite get it. So we find ourselves in John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles or you're taking notes, John chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 15 through 23. And you'll see the words there on the screen. So I'm gonna read a little bit. We'll kind of talk through some of it and then wrap it up here at the end. So John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, so he turns to Peter and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, the fact that Jesus would refer to Peter as Simon, son of John, is going back to Jesus' first encounter with Peter. That happens in chapter 1, verse 42. So for Jesus to say, hey, Simon, son of John, he's kind of reminding Peter of this. Hey, Peter, remember the first time we met? Right? And then he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And do you love me more even than these? And what we think is he's referencing the other disciples. Because there was a point when Peter said, basically, Jesus, I love you more than even the rest of the disciples. Even if the other disciples desert you, I will never desert you, Jesus, Peter says. And so here Jesus is like, hey, Peter, remember that first time we met? Remember when you were kind of initially following John the Baptist? And now you're one of my disciples, as he calls him, Simon, son of John. Peter, do you love me? He visits, it's a way of Jesus kind of, again, going back to this farewell discourse that he had in chapter 14, verse 15, when Jesus says to the disciples, to all the disciples, if you love me, then you will follow my commands. You will keep my commands if, in fact, you do love me. And so here Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me even more than the rest of these guys, the rest of these individuals, the rest of my disciples? Peter says, yes, but notice that Peter doesn't elaborate more. You know, Peter doesn't compare himself to the other disciples at this point. There's been a lot of things that have happened in Peter's life and in his journey up to this point when he's having this conversation with Jesus, that now Peter is not as quick to go, yes, Jesus, I love you more than even all of these. Rather, Peter just says, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. I'm not going to compare my love to the other disciples because there's been some life that's happened since then. And so, yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. And sure enough, Jesus is then going to give him a command. Right? The farewell discourse, chapter 14, John writes, as Jesus says, if you love me, then you'll keep my commands. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do, Jesus. Here comes the command. Well, then feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Okay? So now Jesus has kind of commissioned Peter to act as a shepherd in Jesus' absence. Peter doesn't immediately respond or even accept this commission. Yes, Jesus, you know that I love you. Well, then feed my lambs. Peter kind of doesn't even really respond. And immediately Jesus goes into verse 16. And again, the word again is important. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The fact that the word again is used would suggest that even the second time this question was asked was unexpected to Peter. Again, Jesus asked him, Peter, or he says, son of John, Simon, son of John, Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I do. He drops the more than these part, right? Jesus, the first time he says, do you love me even more than these? This time, Jesus doesn't even go there. He just says, no, but Peter, do you love me? This was unexpected for Peter. And so he says, well, yes. Jesus gives him the same command, the same commission. Well, okay, then I need you to take care of my sheep. I need you to be the shepherd in the absence of the great shepherd. Now, in John's gospel, sheep, as it is connected to the disciples, or any time when Jesus is talking about feed my sheep or my flock or those kind of things, in John's gospel, that means the disciples. So here, Jesus is giving Peter the commission not just to be the pastor of new converts, of new Christians, but also, Peter, I need you to also care for your fellow disciples, the current disciples. You are now commissioned to sort of be their pastor, as well as anyone who might come into the faith. Verse 17. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. There's two times that third time is mentioned. Peter's hurt because Jesus is asking him for the third time. Peter's hurt because there's a third time that needs to be asked. Now, the fact that third time is mentioned twice goes back to verse 14 of this chapter. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And so we see this theme of these threes that take place. This is now being the third time that Jesus reveals himself to the disciples, as if to prove without a shadow of a doubt that he is in fact resurrected. Guys, this is now the third time that I have revealed myself to you so that you have no doubt that it's really me and that I'm really here, that I'm really alive, that the resurrection happened and here I am. As if to say, now, this is the third time, Peter, that I'm asking you if you love me, so that we can prove without a shadow of a doubt that you do, in fact, love me. And now that Jesus has been able to kind of work through this, that there's this, now, this doubt has been removed, we see that John, the writer of this gospel, is using this as a way to make it very clear that Peter is now being reinstated, that Peter is now being restored after he denies Jesus. You remember that? How many times? Three. And so it's as if Jesus is kind of restoring Peter each and every time. Where the denials happen, Jesus has said, do you love me? Yep. Do you love me? Yep. Do you love me? Yep. And now all of a sudden, those things are without a shadow of a doubt. Those things have been removed. That Peter has been restored. Now, if you can unpack it even a little bit further if you wanted to, because where this is all taking place as Peter and Jesus are having this initial conversation, they were on the seaside, and we're going to talk about that next week, and they were having a meal together, and there was, we read, John tells us that Jesus was preparing food over a charcoal fire. Well, if you go back earlier in John's gospel, you see that there were a couple times when Peter found himself by some fires. In John chapter 18, verse 18, it was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire that they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. It goes on another time. Meanwhile, verse 25 of chapter 18. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself, and so they asked him, you aren't one of his disciples too, are you? And what did Peter do? He denied it, saying, I am not. And so here, there's this whole kind of renewal, this restoration that's taking place, and Jesus finding all of the little ways to make Peter know that without a shadow of a doubt, Peter, we just sang a new song. I'd never heard that song before. What's the chorus is like, belong to me, or, right, I belong to you, right? I mean, this is Jesus doing this for Peter. Peter, I'm gonna do all of these little things so that without a shadow of a doubt that you know, Peter, that you belong to me, that I am embracing you as mine, that I am restoring our relationship. Even though, Peter, you were by the fire warming yourself and you denied me 3 times, I'm gonna ask you 3 times, do you love me? I already know, Peter, that you love me. I'm Jesus. But I'm going to ask you 3 times so that there's no longer any doubt that not only are you hearing the forgiveness and the restoration, but now also purpose. Because what does Jesus do? He gives him purpose, right? I can't help but think that there may have been some point in this journey for Peter when he was there by the fire warming himself, and they were like, hey, don't you know Jesus? No, I don't know this guy. Get out of my face. When he did that 3 times, and then he heard the rooster crow. And you have to think that Peter in that moment was just devastated. And now, and we don't know what's happened in the course of that week or so that's taken place. That then here's Jesus on the cross being crucified. Can you imagine what Peter must have been feeling inside of himself? What have I done? How could I have? I completely betrayed, denied, I lied. The guy who was the guy. And now Jesus, because he's Jesus, sure enough, they find themselves by warming themselves by a fire again, having some food. Peter, do you love me 3 times? I already know it. And then he gives him purpose. Now I want you to go and feed my sheep. Peter, who for maybe however long might have felt like, what do I do with my life? I feel so much guilt, so much shame. So what is my purpose? And here Jesus is commissioning Peter to be the shepherd in his absence. Verse 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, and we know, perhaps you know this, that Peter was a martyr for the gospel. Stories tell us that Peter was crucified upside down. Initially, he was going to be crucified, and it was from what we, oral tradition of the church would tell us, that Peter made sure that he was not crucified as the same way in which Jesus was, because in no way did he see himself even comparable to Jesus, and so he was crucified upside down. Here is kind of a little bit of what Jesus is alluding to when he says, when you were young, you could do whatever you wanted. When you get old, you're going to go where people lead you, and you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, and then he said to him, follow me. Peter, do you love me? Yep. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Be the shepherd in the absence of the great shepherd. Peter, follow me. Right? It would have been 3 years earlier, almost, it could have been in the exact same spot for all we know of Jesus, but it was around the same lake where Jesus first encountered Peter and said what? Follow me. And so Jesus has this incredible way of giving this full picture of restoration to Peter, to removing any doubt that Peter would feel like, I'm just not good enough. I really messed up. I can't be restored. I can't be forgiven. I can't be made new. All of that stuff, Jesus just kind of blows out of the water. Because it was just 3 years ago, and perhaps in the same spot, that Jesus said the same words to Peter, follow me. And again, Jesus says, well, why don't you come and follow me? You can read about it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. You can read about it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. And Jesus says, come and follow me, and I will make you I will send you out to fish for people. Which is exactly what Peter told Jesus he wanted to do in John chapter 13 when Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, Peter says. And now Peter's going to have the chance to do that very thing, but not on his own terms, on Jesus' terms. We just had March Madness happen. I mean, it's crazy that May's like 2 days away or whatever that is. But like last month was March and March Madness and things. And at the end of every, I don't know how long they've been doing it. Maybe someone can tell me. But at the end of the championship game, they always do this really, this video montage called what? Right? One shining moment, right? It's as if Jesus, and they show all these really great clips from like the tournament that year and things like that. And it's as if Jesus is doing one shining moment with Peter. It's like they're there on the seaside, and Jesus is kind of walking Peter through this whole journey, their whole relationship to that point, and then kind of going, and here we are. And once again, here we are, and I'm telling you to follow me. Right? Despite all the stuff that happened before, Peter, all of the choices that you made, all of the words that you said, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. Even if everybody else deserts you, I won't. And then the rooster crows and he's like, oh. And Jesus says, follow me. Verse 20. Well, Peter turned, and he saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? Now, the disciple whom Jesus loved, we also understand to be or know, is John, who writes this gospel. When Peter saw him, he turns to Jesus, and he says, so what about this guy? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Again, the command to follow me is repeated, but now with a little bit more emphasis. No. I'm not talking about him, Peter. We're talking about you. You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus makes the point that if I choose to have this guy hang out for a while, what is that to you, Peter? Peter, I'm talking to you. You follow me. And I can't help but wonder how, in our own lives, how much we look like Peter. Not just the denial, right? Or the big words of like, yeah, Jesus, let's do this. 1 minute, and then the very next minute, we deny him when we're asked to our face if we know him, or we live in ways that clearly deny who Jesus is. Choices that we make, words that we use. Or like Peter, as they're having this interaction, how often we want to change the subject. Right? Maybe there's a sense that we have of God's kind of pointing out something in our lives where he's kind of like, hey, that's not really where I want you to be on this thing. Those aren't really the thoughts I want you to have. Those aren't really the actions I want you to live into. Those aren't really the hopes, the dreams, the goals that I want you to pursue or that I've called you to pursue. That relationship or those vices, or those aren't things that are making you look more like me. And then we kind of want to say, we want to change the subject. Well, God, I don't really want to talk about that. Or, well, what about so-and-so? And here Peter is doing that very same thing. Well, Peter, Jesus, what about this guy? And what's great about Jesus is he's not going to let Peter change the subject. No, Peter. We're talking about you. I'm talking with you, Peter. And I want you to come and follow me. Throughout all of this, Jesus leaves no room for doubt that Peter has been restored. Not only has he been restored, but he has now been charged with being a leader, of actually caring for others. Right? I mean, Peter, he was a hypocrite. He was a liar. And yet Jesus made it clear that though Peter did these things, they did not define him. Jesus found a way to remove the whole cloud of guilt from Peter's previous actions and words and say, now I've given you not only forgiveness, but restoration and purpose. And something interesting happens as you read through Peter about this encounter and in his letters, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you begin to see this guy who was really kind of impulsive, who was kind of like, I'm going to be this holier-than-thou, spiritual sort of thing guy that had this experience of denying Jesus, and it changes him for the better. That doesn't mean that those things were, that it was good that he denied Jesus, but rather that through this interaction that he has with Jesus and this experience that he has, that he's been stripped of his own pride, his own impulsiveness, this false sense of who he was, right? I'm Peter. All of that stuff has been stripped away. And he was able to follow Jesus in a new way. He was able to follow Jesus with a much clearer picture of who he was himself. And in that clearer picture, Jesus shows up and invites him to follow him. He restores his relationship. He conveys this forgiveness, this restoration, and this purpose. And I believe that Jesus desires to share the same with us. I believe that Jesus wants to remind us that we are forgiven, that we can be restored, that we can be made new, and that we have purpose. A purpose that is far greater than our own selves. Lord, we give you thanks that you are willing to be in relationship with individuals. You call them your disciples, who just, a lot of times, they just didn't get it. They were far from perfect. And yet, you loved them, you hung out with them, and you gave them purpose. And so we give you thanks that you offer us the same exact thing. That you offer us forgiveness, that you offer us restoration, that you offer us purpose. Despite where we've been or what we've done, that those things do not have to define us. And that you invite us to follow you. And in the midst of that, might we see a clearer picture of who we are, that we are broken, that we are sinful, that we aren't perfect, that we don't have it together. And even despite all of that, that you say, follow me. That you say, hey, I have a purpose for you. And I have a purpose for your life. Lord, help us that we might find our purpose in you.